From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And like an obtuse guest at the end of a long house party, COVID-19 is refusing to take our hints and leave. On top of that, monkeypox is acting like the party is just getting started. The CDC says 90 counties in Illinois are at high or medium community level for COVID, the agency's metric for assessing not just disease, but also hospitalizations and other factors. This is up from just 81 counties a week prior. At the same time, new COVID-19 vaccine booster shots are becoming available, designed to better address two subvariants of the disease that make up most new cases across the country. Illinois is expecting nearly 750,000 doses. Meanwhile, Illinois recently reached 1,000 known cases of monkeypox, but experts are showing, what would you say, cautious optimism at the number of new reported cases, and that it's slowing, I should say, and that vaccines continue to be distributed. So joining us now to talk about COVID-19 and monkeypox in Illinois is Dr. Artie Barnes, Chief Medical Officer for the Illinois Department of Public Health. Dr. Barnes, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Also with us is Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, Professor and Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine. She's also Medical Advisor to the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. Dr. Sundaresan, welcome back to the show to you as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, if you have a question maybe about the new booster shots or anything else related to COVID-19 or monkeypox, don't wait. We're on a strict schedule on the show today, so call now, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So Dr. Barnes, I'm going to begin with you. What would you say is the current state of COVID-19 in Illinois?
So currently, we are seeing a steady amount of cases that continue to occur, and we are seeing people in the hospital, even in this pre-fall season, ending up with COVID and people not making it. And so while we are cautiously optimistic that this is not as severe as a fall surge, we are worried that as we head into a fall season where it gets cooler and people start entering indoors and gatherings get larger with the holiday season, that we will experience even a greater surge in cases. And our goal is to have our communities, our people prepared for it and get vaccinated, know where to get therapeutics if they get sick. And that's something I would like to just caution people about, that we're in a good state right now, but people are still ending up in the hospital as we speak.
What do we know about the people who are ending up in the hospital? Are they largely unvaccinated? Are they vaccinated?
Proportionately, yes. Proportionately compared to those who fully vaccinated, those who are not vaccinated at all or even partially vaccinated are the ones who are ending up in the hospital. And proportionately to those who have been up to date, they have the least risk for being in the hospital as we speak. So even though people were nervous about whether the vaccines are active against the Omicron variants, what we're seeing in reality is that people who are up to date on their vaccines aren't getting admitted to the hospital, aren't getting as severely ill to the point of needing such critical services compared to those who aren't up to date on their vaccine.
And up to date being the two initial series plus one or two boosters, depending on one's age. Dr. Sundaresan, there's these new COVID booster shots coming online. Can you talk a little bit about what makes them different from the previous iterations of the vaccine?
Absolutely. So this is a very exciting new addition to the arsenal that we have. We have bivalent vaccines.
What does that mean, bivalent?
Yeah. So, COVID, I'll start off, is a master of disguise. We've seen it evolve through the years with different emerging strains. The most predominant circulating strain now of Omicron is still BA4, BA5, BA5 mainly that we're seeing. So the bivalent vaccines actually have the antigen from the ancestral strain, the original COVID virus, as well as the antigen from the Omicron BA4, BA5 strains. So it has bivalency, which means it has protection or antigens from both these, the Omicron as well as the ancestral strains, which makes it different from what we've traditionally had available.
Dr. Sundaresan, is there rationing to start with? I noticed that in Champaign-Urbana, for example, because I'm on one of their email lists, that they're starting with people age 65 and older, at least for the initial week or weeks of distribution. Who is eligible and who should get this shot?
Everybody should get the shot if they're eligible for. So Pfizer, there we have Pfizer as well as Moderna. Both those have made these booster shots. So Moderna, anybody 18 and above is eligible to get that. And then for Pfizer, it's 12 and above. Everybody 12 and above is eligible to get the vaccine. Dr. Barnes may be able to comment a little bit more in terms of the supply, but here in Springfield, the health department has received Pfizer already, and they're distributing that, or they've started to give that. And the hospitals have also received their share. SIU has received some Moderna. So they are looking to get the employees as well as patients. So it's being distributed as much as we can to whoever's eligible.
And Dr. Barnes, is there, what are the guidelines in terms of maybe somebody who's listening has already gotten a shot over the summer, a booster shot? Is there a waiting period to get one of these new ones?
Yeah. So the CDC has says wait at least 2 months from your last booster, or if you just had a recent infection, even if you had your primary vaccine series, wait about 2 months. And getting it a little too soon, like within just a month after, might not give you the full protection that this vaccine is capable of giving you. And so it's smart to give it a little bit of time. And, you know, waiting 2 months, 3 months after that last shot is something that would work for everyone. It's important to just remember so many people weren't eligible for that second booster and haven't really received their booster since November, December of 21. So we estimate that, you know, several million people would be eligible for this current booster.
Yes, me among them. I did get my first booster. I'm not technically old enough to get the second one, so I'm looking forward to getting this shot myself. Dr. Barnes, let's maybe shift a little bit to testing. The federal government recently, I understand, suspended its program to offer free tests because of a lack of funding. How is the state responding? I noticed the test positivity rate is much higher than it was earlier in the pandemic, which I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that suggests maybe we're not testing enough to really understand the true spread of disease out there.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting. We would expect the test positivity rate to be higher, but that's artifactual, actually, because a lot of the testing that is now occurring is occurring through home-based tests, and those are not included in the testing rate. So the ones that we anticipated about a 30% upswing in the test positivity once lab laboratories and facilities, clinical facilities, no longer had to report negative tests. So it's again a mathematical artifact that we see that bump in the positivity rate globally. But to answer what the state is doing, we are right now talking about getting free tests from other sources. And that would be mostly targeted towards lower income families and areas that don't have the resources necessarily to be able to purchase tests over the counter. So those considerations are occurring as we speak. And we have contracts in place with existing testing sites. There are some federally approved sites and supported sites, I should say, called the ICAT sites that mostly partner with pharmacies where testing can still be free. And certain certain programs that we have, including integrated community-based testing sites that still offer testing for free. These are a combination of, again, home rapid tests, as well as what we refer to as the PCR test, which is more sensitive, and it's and run in larger machines, so not necessarily what we refer to as point of care or home-based tests.
Right, sure. All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Dr. Artie Barnes, Chief Medical Officer at the Illinois Department of Public Health, and Dr. Vithya Sundaresan, who is Chief of Infectious Diseases at the SIU School of Medicine in Springfield, also an advisor to the Sangamon County Department of Public Health. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. And Sonia is on line 4 from Rockford. Sonia, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Quick question. I'm due for my flu shot. Our whole family is. Is there any recommendation as far as spacing out the flu shot from the COVID booster?
Okay, spacing it out or taking it at the same time? Good question, Sonia. Thanks for that call. Dr. Sundaresan, do you have advice on that? Can you get them at the same time or should you wait between?
Yeah, so there is no recommendation to stagger. You can take it at the same time. Some people are even saying take it in the same arm if you're worried about soreness from the shot. So no recommendation to stagger it. You don't have to wait.
All right. Thank you for that. Paul is calling on line 1 from Sycamore, Illinois. Paul, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. I've noticed several months ago the Illinois Department of Health stopped providing the number of tests given on their website. So I have no way of seeing how high the positivity rate is anymore, and I was wondering if they could explain why they did that.
All right, thank you for the question, Dr. Barnes.
Yeah, and as I was just mentioning before, so CDC changed its reporting criteria a few months ago to no longer require negative tests. So all that's really going to be reported are positive tests. So by definition, by nature, the positivity rate will go up. Please let me know if you need a further explanation of that. But because we knew that that would skew the results of what people are seeing, we've gone to a more accurate way of looking at how many people are positive in a population rather than how many people are positive out of all the tests we receive, because we know we no longer receive the whole picture. So we report case rates, so how many people are positive for every 100,000 Illinoisans, and that's a more reliable measure of what's happening with COVID in the country, in our state right now.
In the few minutes we have remaining, I don't want to neglect monkeypox. And so, Dr. Sundaresan, I wanted to ask you, just where are things now? Is this something that most people should be concerned about, and why or why not?
Yeah, so with monkeypox, like you mentioned earlier, I think the numbers I last checked were 1,300 or so in Illinois. We have 2 reported cases here in Sangamon County. So it is there. You have to look for it. So having a high index of suspicion and people that are high risk, communication, education is important. And then we do have the vaccine available here in Sangamon County. Jennios is the name of the vaccine, 2 doses given intradermally. So that's available. Treatment is available through the strategic national stockpile, and health departments can obtain that from CDC. So diagnosis, treatment, vaccines, and education, high index of suspicion. On the whole, however, we are seeing that numbers and where the numbers were going up in July, LA, New York, Chicago, the numbers are going to come down. In Britain, they saw a 25% reduction. So that's good news. And now the doubling rate has kind of expanded to, it's not as frequent as it was earlier in July and August. So that's good news. But we still need to continue with our efforts. The efforts are ongoing, and that will help slow it down further.
Dr. Barnes, very briefly, we're almost out of time, but state response to monkeypox. Do you feel the state is getting everything it needs from its partners at the federal level and elsewhere?
Yeah, and we've asked for more. So we have so far received an adequate amount of vaccine to be able to expand our vaccination criteria to all high-risk groups, those who have been identified as high-risk by CDC. And so we just launched our new expanded campaign for vaccinations, but we are reassured by the fact that the numbers are coming down. So while this is a good thing, we just want to let people know that monkeypox won't necessarily have the seasonality as COVID does. So what comes down can go right back up. So protect yourself, understand how it spreads, make sure you avoid skin-to-skin contact if people do have lesions or some spots of the skin that you don't know what they're from, and get yourself vaccinated if you belong to one of those high-risk groups.
Yeah, and we initially talked about men who have sex with men as a high-risk group, but I've seen, you know, high school wrestlers, anyone with sort of physical contact should be watching out for this. We are unfortunately out of time. Quick, super quick lightning question, Dr. Sundaresan. We did get one caller wondering about shingles shot with the COVID booster. Is that something it's okay to do at the same time?
Yes, okay. Because these are not live virus vaccines, so sure. It's COVID, so it's all right to do those together.
All right, great. Thank you. Glad, Ed, sorry we couldn't get you on air, but there is the answer to your question. Hope that helps. Dr. Vithya Sundaresan is with the SIU School of Medicine, Dr. Artie Barnes with the Illinois Department of Public Health. Thank you both so much for being with us today on The 21st Show. And more to come after a short break. Stay with us.